It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. And today, we are going to talk Week 16 waiver wire pickups. Adam, what's going on, man?
Yeah, first of all, appreciate you, battling through the illness. It's that time of year. Trust me, man, my house, same situation. Week 15, longest week ever. It's not even over yet. We still have two more games tonight. But this was a weird week, obviously, because of the scheduling. But then there was, like, a bunch of studs that did not deliver. So I feel like this is a week where, like, a lot of contending teams that were great all year probably got upset. And regardless, if you're still in your league, you need to listen to this podcast because we're gonna highlight a bunch of really good waiver candidates. And because the week was so weird and there were injuries, there's actually, given the fact that it's even week 16, it's a lot of players to consider. So,
I mean, honestly, could you say at the weirdest time of the year and after the worst week of possibly fantasy we've seen all season, I mean, could you say this is the best week for waivers we've seen all year? I think it's possible, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there. And I tweeted this earlier in the week, but, like, this has been the best week to have a first round bye that I can remember in fantasy, because, like, not only with the players on the COVID list and the scheduling and everything, but then, like, you know, like, I have a team where I had a first round bye and, like, I had Kyler Murray, and if I didn't have a first round bye, like, I'd be in huge trouble right now. And, like, you know, I don't know who else was bad. Like, Cordell Patterson was bad. Amari Cooper was bad. Like, just, if you had a first round bye, you're very, very, very lucky right now. And we'll see if week 16 makes any more sense. Can't be worse than this past week. I mean, the Lions beat the Cardinals. I'll just leave it at that.
Now, whether you had a first round bye or, like me and Adam's talking about, you're limping into this week right now. Oof, man. Sickness and all these different things has been rough this time of year, man. And I understand that fantasy teams out there could be feeling the same exact thing after last week. There are some really good options, I think, on the waiver wire. Before we get to those targets right now, got to tell you again about the FTN Daily Lineup Optimizer Package. Starting at $49 a month, all four sports optimizers, roster percentage projections, one low price. So you can start building your bankroll today. Use the code FTNTV, get 15% off of every single month with the Lineup Edge Optimizer Package. Get signed up today. We've got subs, even through these gross weeks, turning $150 into thousands and thousands of dollars. It happens every single week. We post this out on Twitter, the timelines. Got to be tailing it. Got to get in on the action. Adam, kick us off here, man. First guy you're going to talk about picking up off of waivers.
You know.
Oh, I do.
Actually, you don't know, because, like, it. All right, I'll start with the non-homer selection, but.
You know, go ahead. Let's get it out of the way. You've already teased it.
No, I don't want to start there. I actually want to start with Amon-Ra, because Amon-Ra St. Brown needs to be 100% rostered right now. At last I looked, it's Tuesday. We still have games. So, like, that's obviously, this number is obviously low and it's going to change, but 30% on Yahoo. It's almost as if somebody touted him all offseason, said he was really good at football. It's weird. But all jokes aside, like, I was surprised. We talked about it, that he fell to the fourth round of the draft. Yes, he wasn't the fastest player, but he knows how to get open. He can play. And the last couple weeks, he's clearly been not even close. It's been Amon-Ra St. Brown leading this passing game. Yes, TJ Hockenson's been out, but guess what? TJ Hockenson's not coming back this year. We'll see if DeAndre Swift's back. But, like, still, the last 3 weeks, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 26 receptions, nearly 40 targets during that span, 249 yards and a pair of touchdowns, 42.3% target share last game against the Cardinals. And during that, you know, 3 week span I just mentioned, he has a 34% target share. Just there. And I talked about this on the DFS podcast with Betts on Thursday. Yes, he's not Cooper Kupp, and we know Jared Goff is, you know, there's been, like, comparisons. Could Amon-Ra St. Brown be, you know, Jared Goff's Cooper Kupp in Detroit? And, like, obviously that's not going to happen, but the last couple weeks it's been, you know, somewhat like that with the massive target share. And they're using him all over the formation, right? 63% slot rate over the last 3 weeks. And what we see with the Rams a lot with Cooper Kupp is they'll line him up in the backfield and let him run these quick out routes that are just, it's just easy releases for him to get open and get 8 to 10 yards. And we're seeing that with Amon-Ra St. Brown the last couple weeks, where he's been out of the backfield, I think 10 times the last couple weeks. Just really incredible usage. Now, we have to keep an eye on Jared Goff. He was placed on the COVID list on Monday. But as long as he's back, I mean, the connection's clearly there. Amon-Ra's got, you know, nobody else competing for him with targets outside of maybe Josh Reynolds, and if Swift's back. I think he's supposed to practice this week, but he could still easily be out again. And he's got the Falcons this week. I mean, fifth highest passing touchdown rate in the NFL. We know, you know, A.J. Terrell's been a shutdown corner, but the rest of that secondary's been really bad. So, yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 30% roster right now. He is a legitimate, like, low-end wide receiver, too, in PPR leagues right now. And someone who is probably going to be without Leonard Fournette in semifinals next week. I have Amon-Ra on my bench, and I'm obviously upset that Fournette's not going to be available, but I'm perfectly comfortable sliding Amon-Ra St. Brown into my flex.
Yeah, I think people need to be doing it, man. I mean, a guy that's garnering this many targets at the end of the season. Say what you will about the Lions, but, I mean, there are some fantasy options to be had. You're going to talk about Amon-Ra. I'm going to bring up Josh Reynolds, man. And I'm not a Josh Reynolds stan, but for a guy that's been getting the volume he's gotten, he's been soaking up about 50% of the air yards since he arrived in Detroit, and 6 for 68 and a touchdown last week, and a 23% target share right behind Amon-Ra. And again, you talked about, we got to monitor the quarterback situation for Detroit, but getting Atlanta this week and Seattle next week, they're good matchups, and we could see Reynolds walk away with another game. If he gets into the box score like Amon-Ra, you could be looking at, and this is crazy to say, Adam, but you could be looking at two Detroit wide receivers finishing the week inside the top 30 wide receivers for fantasy, and I don't think that's insane to say, man. So, like the calls on both of those guys.
That Seattle matchup, by the way, is awesome for Amon-Ra, especially. Yep, sure They've is. Been so bad against slot receivers. And Amon-Ra is going to be there about, you know, anywhere between, I would say, 60 to 70% of the time. Again, just keep an eye on Jared Goff. Hopefully he's back. And as long as that's the case, I mean, is Jared Goff playing MVP level football or all pro? No, of course not. But he's been fine the last couple weeks and pretty much all year for the most part. And he's playing well enough to where Amon-Ra is getting, you know, I think his floor lately has been like 8 for 70. Now, am I projecting that each week? Probably not. But like, they just don't have anybody else to throw to. And Amon-Ra, again, it's rookie receiver. We see this happen with rookies at this point in the season where they start to, the game starts to slow down for them and they really start to get going. And that's what we're seeing from Amon-Ra, who, again, he wasn't a top three receiver for us in the draft process. But for me, like, that was somebody I was very high on. So it's exciting to watch him ball out the last couple weeks.
Even if you drop the median floor for Amon-Ra, like with targets and projections, and you put him at 5 for 50, if he gets into the end zone with that type of projection, he still has a chance to be a top 24 to 36 wide receiver, depending on how the week shakes out. A guy you talked about before we got on to Detroit wide receivers, with Leonard Fournette's news, if Ronald Jones is out there and somebody has already not stashed him, which there are a lot of leagues that might be the case, especially short benches, you've got to be empty in the clip. You got to be prioritizing Ronald Jones this week. They get Carolina, the Jets, and then the Panthers again. And Adam, look, I understand Ronald Jones can't catch a damn pass to save his life. They have nobody else on that roster to play running back right now. Like, Keyshawn Vaughn has not been good his entirety of his career. And Tampa's never trusted him with anything outside of special team work. So, looking at this backfield, as bad as Ronald Jones is at catching the football, you could pencil him in. He's going to get 15 touches probably on the ground on the early downs. Maybe he gets 3 to 4 catches in a game. And I mean, 2 to 3 is probably a decent median. Like, that's not, we're not talking about like crazy numbers here. But a guy that, again, we're talking about is going to sniff 20 touches in a game every single week that Leonard Fournette is out. Yeah, I like Ronald Jones here, man. And that's crazy to say in the year 2021.
Yeah, and it's not even just that, right? It's not even just the Fournette injury. We know Giovanni Bernard's out. They don't trust Keyshawn Vaughn. And it's Chris Godwin's out for the year. Mike Evans is week to week. They're saying he could still has a, we'll talk about the receivers in a little bit, but like there's a shot Mike Evans plays, but what was it, a strained hamstring and he's week to week? That sounds more like doubtful for this week.
I doubt it.
And then, and we are, and we'll see with Antonio Brown, but it's like they don't, they all of a sudden don't have a lot of players to throw the ball to. So is like Leonard Fournette, as good as he's been as a pass catcher this year, I think he, you know, leads the end. It'll change obviously once he misses time, but he leads the league in receptions among running backs. Like that was more of a volume based thing. It's not because Leonard Fournette is this incredibly efficient pass catcher out of the backfield. We know Ronald Jones is worse than Leonard Fournette as a pass catcher, but he's going to run routes because he's going to be on the field a ton. So yeah, he will be, I would say, you know, when you do your rankings, I would imagine he'll be no worse than like RB 15, especially given the state of the position, what week we're in. So yeah, he needs to be added immediately if he's not out there. Just the opportunity, the offense isn't going to be as good without some of the players they have, but they're still going to move the football. And we just saw Devin Singletary have 90 yards and a touchdown against Carolina. So Ronald Jones could easily get that done. I believe the last time he played Carolina was the game he had that 98 yard rushing touchdown last year. Not projecting that, but I mean, we do know Ronald Jones has that breakaway ability, so.
Yeah, I don't hate the call. The other thing about it is, and we'll lead into the Tampa receivers here in a second, but if the passing game weapons are downgraded for Tampa, I know that they want to throw the ball, and I'm not saying that they're going to go metamorphosize into a run-first team, but you can't tell me that, like, going from possibly Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to starting wide receivers are, and maybe Antonio Brown is back this week. But then you go from a starting trio of Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and whoever else to Antonio Brown as number one. Then you have what, Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller? Like, that's going to change the offensive philosophy. And I'm not saying they go from a top five pass rate to a top five neutral rushing rate team, but maybe it drops it down into the teens, or you see Tampa says, okay, we're going to lean on Ronald Jones this week. And I think it's a possibility, dude. But speaking of, like, I agree with you. Like, I don't think Mike Evans probably plays this week. I would consider him more doubtful than probable or questionable. I think that that's just really Tampa just really saying, dear Lord in heaven, we need you, Mike Evans, and hoping for the best. But if he's not out there, tell me your thoughts on Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller.
Yeah, so obviously, we talked about Rashad Bateman a lot during the draft process, but like the year before that, Tyler Johnson was awesome at Minnesota. And we've seen him have some splash plays with everybody healthy. So I think Tyler Johnson's very interesting going forward. Now, we talked about like, and I had another receiver because I didn't realize he was this, you know, he was out there this much, but like Russell Gage is still at 50% rostered. Russell Gage, Gabriel Davis, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, I would definitely add over any of the Tampa Bay receivers because, again, they could just, like Antonio Brown on a per route and per snap basis since joining Tampa Bay has been targeted at one of the higher rates in the NFL. So assuming he's back this week, he probably gets double-digit targets. They still have Gronk and they still have Brate. So, like, I don't think Tyler Johnson, like, is a safe add for this week by any means, but, like, definitely somebody to add. And, you know, if you don't need to start him, put him on your bench and see what happens if you make it to the next round because talented player. We know Brady's going to be back and you could easily see Tampa Bay having a, you know, massive get right game next week after getting shut out by your New Orleans Saints. I mean, Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller, they both are on the radar for sure. And I agree. Like, I think Mike Evans got ruled out pretty quickly. Like, he was immediately went to locker room, immediately got ruled doubtful to return. Then right after halftime or even before halftime got ruled out. Like, I would be pretty surprised if he plays this week.
I mean, I don't see him playing, dude. So yeah, I don't disagree on any of the points. Let's get this out of the way, man. We've already talked about a number of players. You said you didn't want to bring it up off the hop. I tried to get you to do it just so we could get it out of the way. I love toe drag swag myself, but good Lord, how many damn times do we have to bring up Gabriel Davis before people understand they should have already had him on their rosters?
Yeah, I mean, like, good players make plays on Sundays, and that's just what Gabriel Davis does every Sunday. Like, doesn't matter the snaps, and then obviously with Emmanuel Sanders out on Sunday, Gabriel Davis thrust into a full-time role and balls out, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns. Gabriel Davis just scores touchdowns. You look at the season, and obviously this dates back to last year as well when he had a ridiculous touchdown rate, but Gabriel Davis right now, 20% of his targets have come in the end zone. It's the sixth highest rate in the league. It's actually the second or third highest rate among all receivers. Like, that's not just, like, that's with Diggs on the field and with Sanders. Like, they have these, like, there's this play. I talk about it all the time. The Bills get inside the 10-yard line. It's an RPO. Josh Allen keeps it and just throws a quick dart to Davis in the end zone. And they just have a good rapport. And who knows if Emmanuel Sanders is back next week. But, like, you know, I said this when the Bills signed Emmanuel Sanders in the offseason. As good as Emmanuel Sanders is, Gabriel Davis should play over him. Like, Gabriel Davis is really good. And he has that deep threat ability. He's got the end zone. Like we talked about this a lot with Emmanuel Sanders in the beginning of the year. I think the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, Emmanuel Sanders was top five in both deep and end zone targets this year. You know, and then he obviously fell off a bit in the middle of the season. But that's the role Davis has. He got deep targets. He got end zone targets. And he's gotten them anytime he's been on the field for a decent amount of time. So if Sanders remains out, Beasley's been really up and down in terms of, you know, getting banged up and his snaps. He limped off the field for a little bit last game. Like, just Davis needs to play. And I would prefer Amon-Ra and Gage because they're safer. They don't need, you know, an injury to their team to have the role that they have. But Davis, like, I think he was like 80%+ of the snaps, you know, 90%+ of the routes or something last week. So, like, if that's the role he's going to continue to have, he's going to have wide receiver three numbers with upside for more.
I love Gabe Davis, man, and I agree with you. We talked about him all offseason. We talked about him as a dynasty buy in the offseason. And for all the reasons people are seeing, and people, like, talked about Manny Sanders in the first few weeks of the season, and they're like, he's playing so good, and you hear the beat writers saying, oh, yeah, he should be playing above Gabe Davis. And I'm like, no, he shouldn't, man. Like, Gabe Davis, even this year, up before even this week, I wrote this up in the DFS game by game. I said, Gabe Davis has legit been the most, you could questionably say, like, he's been the most efficient player on the Bills roster this year. And I know that, like, sounds like it's preposterous, but you're looking at a guy that is top 12 in fantasy points per route, top 12 in fantasy points per target. He's top 10 in QBR when he's been targeted.
Yep, I was literally about to bring that up. I brought that up in my article. Like, I think he's eighth now. Like, I think it's a 130.3 passer rating for Josh Allen when targeting Gabe Davis. That's the eighth highest mark in the league. Like, that's like when you throw to Gabe Davis. And again, we understand that it's a smaller sample because he's not getting 10 targets a game like Stephon Diggs and a lot of these other receivers. But, like, it's been over a year now. It's not just like it was a couple games last year. It was a full season last year, and it's been whenever he's in the field again this year.
And he's played multiple roles, man. He could play inside. He could play outside. He could stretch the field. He's shown that he can be efficient. Yes, like, I love taking the shot on Gabriel Davis because, I mean, look, Beasley has not been a thing. This offense has needed a spark. Gabe Davis is providing it. I don't see even if Manny Sanders, and yes, could he come back and kibosh all this? Sure, but at this point, considering what this offense has looked like for the majority of the season, Adam, the Bills are ridiculous if they take Gabe Davis off the damn field. Like, I'm going to throw that out there. Like, he has shown that he can produce, and this team needs a spark in the receiving column. Yes, keep him on the field. I don't give a damn if Manny is healthy. He has earned the right to play in three wide receiver sets to this point, man. So, transitioning out of wide receivers, going back to the running back position, Samaje Perine, and you're going to talk about Justin Jackson here, both of these guys need to be picked up. Like, with Samaje Perine, like, Joe Mixon is dealing with the ankle issue. Doubt he plays. They have Baltimore, Kansas City, and Cleveland. Two of those three matches for the rest of the season are bad. But at this point, Adam, we're grasping at straws, baby. Like, you're looking for a guy that could possibly get 12 to 15 touches in any game to start as your RB2 or flex. Samaje Perine's going to do that for you. And despite a bad matchup this week, he still is going to garner routes in the passing game. We've seen that even when Joe Mixon is healthy. So I don't think it's crazy like Samaje Perine just three down back. Him running most of the routes, like 60 to 70% per drop back, is insane. And if that's the case, look, he gets into the end zone and he gets you like 60 to 70 total yards. Probably going to be an RB2 for you this week.
Yeah, just keep an eye on Mixon. He actually went back on the field for the victory formation for the Bengals, which it may not mean anything, but like if the ankle injury was serious, there's no, like, he would have went right to, like, he never went to the locker room or anything. He was, you know, jogging on the sideline. Zach Taylor said that it's an ankle sprain, but it's optimistic and that he's going to be limited to start the week. So it does sound like Mixon could definitely play. But yeah, I mean, right now, if we get word, even if without word, like an opt, you take advantage of the news we have right now, which isn't much, and you just say, okay, Samaje Perine, we've seen him play third downs a lot, you know, take passing snaps away from Mixon. So he'd be a borderline every down running back if Mixon were to miss. So definitely something to keep an eye on. And then Justin Jackson, like, hopefully we get a clearer picture today, but Eckler was originally, the news came out that he was placed on the COVID list and then that he wasn't. And then there was like beat reporters from the Chargers saying that he's expected to be placed on the COVID list like Tuesday or Wednesday. But then I saw he was at practice on Monday. Like, the Eckler situation is very, very confusing. We saw him in a limited role because we expect him to be limited on that Thursday night game with the ankle against the Chiefs, and he was limited. His snaps were down. Justin Jackson actually played. They ran the ball really well against the Chiefs. That offensive line was doing great, and I believe they were without Rashawn Slater for that game, who they expect to get back next week. So if Eckler, you know, who knows? But, like, if Eckler is out, I mean, Justin Jackson, they'll mix in, obviously, Joshua Kelly a little bit, but Justin Jackson looked pretty good in that game. And it's just, again, the opportunity, especially if Eckler's on your team and you need a running back, Justin Jackson, not Joshua Kelly, would be the at least the 1A in this backfield. So just keep an eye on that. That's going to be something I'm really keeping an eye on Tuesday and Wednesday to see if we get some clarity on that.
Yeah, it was so back and forth, man. We just got to monitor the news right now. Let's close this thing out with some quarterbacks here, man. And I know that, like, people probably got quarterbacks they're already riding with. But we got two interesting options here that could, I mean, put it this way, dude. Like, they've been putting out top 12 numbers whenever they've been starters. Tell me why you love Justin Fields, baby.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Fields, the game on Monday against Minnesota was just ugly from every aspect. The Vikings didn't take advantage of the Bears' corners, and the Bears just had penalties and turnovers that just really didn't help. But, you know, Fields has been, you know, 16 or 17 or more fantasy points, I believe, in like four of his last five full starts. I believe the Baltimore game, he left early. And we've seen the upside, right? That Packers game a couple weeks ago was pretty encouraging. And he's run for at least, you know, the rushing numbers have been a lot higher since, you know, when he first started, there was like no design runs for Justin Fields. There's a lot more now. His scrambling rate is one of the highest among quarterbacks. So you see the rushing floor, 35, 74, 23 rushing yards. That 23 rushing yards, again, was the Baltimore game, which he left early. 45, 103, 38, 43. So that's going to be massive. He's got a decent schedule to end the season with Seattle next week, then the Giants, and then the Vikings again in week 18. So Justin Fields, again, it's more of a, you know, deeper leagues or something, or if you're, you know, missing, I guess, who would you even be missing at this point? Because if you're in the playoffs, I feel like a lot of playoff teams that had Kyler might not be in it anymore. But if you like Russell Wilson, he's been really up and down, more so just meh. If you know, we'll see what he does tonight. But like that's where you could look at Justin Fields potentially and say, okay, he's got the floor. And right now there might even be a higher ceiling for Justin Fields. So definitely a quarterback I'm keeping an eye on, as well as the quarterback you're going to mention, because he looked awesome on Sunday.
I mean, preseason hero, man. Anybody that's been rocking with me since the preseason DFS streets, you already know about this man, and I think you can make a really good case for both of these guys. Like, if you're in a matchup walking into this week where you're looking at your starting lineup versus the other team across from you, and you say, dear Lord in heaven, barring a miracle, how do I take this down? And you're shooting for upside, and you're shooting for ceiling, and yes, the floor is still high for both of these players because of the rushing they possess, then I don't have a problem with you taking a ceiling shot on one of these quarterbacks versus playing, say, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, some of these other guys. Hell, even maybe Joe Burrow, man, because we've seen weeks where Cincinnati just goes away from throwing the ball and they run the ball. So, like, talking about looking at Justin Fields and Tyler Huntley in the same breath is not insane, man. Tyler Huntley had a fantastic game last week. 215 through the air, two passing touchdowns, took off for 73 yards and two more scores on the ground. Like, I don't want to call him like discount Lamar, but basically, like, he's been playing extremely well. They operate in similar fashions, and The guy's been throwing the ball as good, if not better, than what we've seen out of Lamar over the last 5 to 6 weeks. So yeah, dude, like, if Tyler Huntley is under center, I don't think it's insane that, like, to say that, like, he probably should be ranked as a top 12 quarterback walking into this week.
Yeah, we'll see what Lamar Jackson's status is, but it's funny. I'm in my most important dynasty league, just smashing all year. Jonathan Taylor's on that team. Austin Eckler's on that team. First round bye, and I'll keep an eye on the matchups because I obviously would prefer to play the team that I think is a little bit, you know, less talented in the next round. And the team that I didn't want to play had Lamar Jackson, so I'm like, all right, we'll see. That's good for me. Hopefully he doesn't have a great quarterback. Picks up Tyler Huntley, already has Mark Andrews, and that combination scored about 87 million fantasy points, so I'll be playing that team. But yeah, like, Tyler Huntley made some really good throws. Obviously he went toe to toe with Aaron Rodgers. Like, it was really impressive. So we'll see what Lamar Jackson's ankle looks like. I don't think he practiced at all last week, so definitely something to keep an eye on. But yeah, I think these are the two quarterbacks if you're looking to stream, even in the fantasy semifinals, because there are some quarterbacks out there like Russell Wilson, who's been up and down. Joe Burrow is actually a pretty good call too, because there's been some really good Joe Burrow games, and there's been some turnover and, you know, turnover games from Burrow and games where they run the ball a lot. Now, I don't think that's going to be against Baltimore, but yeah, Huntley needs to be, you know, if he wasn't already, absolutely on the radar. Let me ask you one more player, and it's not a quarterback, but we didn't talk about it. And this was the epitome of week 15. This player had been on multiple practice squads. It worked out for multiple teams all year. You see it every week, and then all of a sudden, Miles Gaskins, Von Ahmed cleared from the COVID list.
Oh, Lord.
And then Duke Johnson goes and absolutely balls out. And we get word that, you know, Brian Flores said they're going to continue to use multiple running backs. Now, the problem is that's strike one. Strike two, they have the Saints this week. So are you even looking at Duke Johnson? No. He looked really good. Like, he broke like 8 or 9 tackles, I think it was. Like, he actually looked really good. I know it was against the Jets, but that was just, you know, week 15 in a nutshell right there.
I can't trust Duke, man. And this is the problem, and it's not so much not trusting Duke Johnson. It's I don't trust Brian Flores. I don't trust Miami because here's the thing. The other news we didn't get, we never got news that Duke Johnson was going to be the damn starter. The other news that we didn't get last week is that Malcolm Brown did not come off the IR. Mm-hmm. If that happens this week, holy shit. You want to see a three-way mess, or who the hell gets the ball? Because maybe we chalk up last week to Miles Gaskin had symptoms. He was coming off of COVID.
Right.
He wasn't 100%. Maybe he comes back and he's the lead back. Hell, maybe they split it three ways and Duke Johnson and Malcolm Brown and Miles Gaskin all get 8 to 10 carries. Hell no. I don't want to touch this backfield walking into championship week. Shit no.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Plus, like, we've talked about this a ton on this podcast, but Miami's been super pass heavy all year. Jalen Waddle will be back next week. Devontae Parker looked good last week. So, like, against the Saints, like, we might just see 40 pass attempts from Tua. Yeah, I agree. But Duke Johnson deserves some love. Like, he balled out. He'll be added a ton. I'm not there either. Like, no. I don't even know if there's another, like, we talked about some running backs, like, obviously Ronald Jones over him, but, like, yeah, like, if Devin Singletary's somehow still out there, just go at him over, yep. Duke Johnson. By the way, Zach Moss, healthy scratch again.
I mean, your dynasty shares hate to see it, man. Zach Moss is officially dust in dynasty. You hate to see it unless you never really touted Zach Moss to begin with, then it doesn't really matter. So, but moving out of the Bills, love, man, before we get up out of here, got to tell everybody again about Top Rock Fantasy. I was in the battleground. I'm licking my wounds this morning about it. Kirk Cousins turned into a turtle. They had no answer for interior pressure.
Oh, my God. And that's my love
for KJ Osborne, man.
Justin Jefferson, like, horrible. I believe his receiving prop was like 105. Right. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I think he smashes that given the Bears secondary, given the fact there's no Adam Thielen. And not only was Akeem Hicks in Cousins' face from the get go, but Mike Zimmer was like, you know, just second and 9, let's run the ball. Second and 11, let's run the ball. it was that game set football back. And Justin Jefferson, I feel like he's awesome. He's obviously great. And he actually, like, and run blocking was awesome. But it's like, we want to see Justin Jefferson just ball out. And it looked like he was on his way, right? The first two drives, he had like 30 yards and a touchdown. And it's like, okay, here we go. And it just didn't happen. And it could have been like I feel like it literally could have been like a 200-yard game from Justin Jefferson.
It should have been, man. And like with Minnesota, they kiboshed all my Jefferson love last night. They kiboshed my KJ Osborne play in the battleground. So if you want to meet me in the battleground and you want to take me on the head-to-heads, I mean, obviously money can be made. I'm telling you right now, people, this is unlike other DFS platforms. You're literally playing the chance that you pick a player and you go against my player. And all you're saying is that he scores more points than the player that I picked. And that's it, people. Head over to topropfantasy.com. You get to sign up with the promo code FTN50. $50 in risk-free contest today. Again, Top Prop Fantasy, use the code FTN50. Meet me in the battleground for these head-to-heads right now. As well as, we talked about it, Adam, Profit Exchange. Coming soon in New Jersey, it's peer-to-peer betting exchange, giving people the ability to use the best odds and prices in sports betting. You set a line or a price for others to bet on, or place a bet on an existing line. Right now, Profit Exchange is running a promotion called Exchange the Love. With this, they're going to give an increase of the Go Live deposit match by $25 for every 500 people that pre-register before launch. Again, go to ProfitExchange.com, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, Exchange.com, 21 and over and present in New Jersey, terms apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, people, those are the waiver ads for Week 16. Adam and I are going to get up out of here. Be back later this week to give you all of the goods for DFS. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.